sweet towards me. Your loving kindness towards me. Your tender mercies I see. Day after day.
K-A-Y-T, Gina, Alexandria. This is Gospel Radio at its very best. 88.1. K-A-Y-T, praising the Lord.
Greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You've just tuned in to the media ministry of New Zion Missionary Baptist Church of Winfield, Louisiana, pastored by Reverend Tramiel Ham. The Lord says in His Word that in 2 Timothy, preach the Word, be instant, in season and out of season. Listen now as our pastor preaches and teaches an in-season Word.
Such things. You used to do them when your life was still part of this world. And if you would repeat after me, those are things I used to do. When I was still a part of the world. Amen. Amen. All right. But now is the time to get rid of anger, rage, malicious behavior, slander, and dirty language. Don't lie to each other, for you have stripped off your old evil nature and all its wicked deeds. In its place, you have clothed yourselves with a brand new nature that is continually being renewed as you learn more and more about Christ, who created this new nature within you. And in this new life, it doesn't matter if you are a Jew or a Gentile, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbaric, uncivilized, slave or free. Christ is all that matters, and He lives in all of us. Since God chose you to be the holy people whom He loves, you must clothe yourselves with tender-hearted mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. You must make allowance for each other's faults and forgive the person who offends you. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. And the most important piece of clothing you must wear is love. Love is what binds us all together in perfect harmony. And let the peace that comes from Christ rule in your hearts. For as members of one body, you are all called to live in peace and always be thankful. And let the words of Christ and all their richness live in your hearts and make you wise. And the word of the Lord is already blessed. And the original text came from verse 11 through verse 16, but all of it was good. All of that tasted good. It did. But Father God, we just thank you for this day. I thank you, Lord, for an opportunity, oh God, to share with your people, oh God. And Lord God, I'm getting out of your way, and God, I'm going to let you have your way, God. Speak through me, Lord. Speak to me, Lord God. Give your people what you know, Lord God, they need. Only you know what they need, God. But Lord God, I thank you, Lord God, that you even count me worthy enough, oh God, to use me as a vessel. And God, I just thank you and I praise you and I give you the glory and the honor, oh God, that you would have your way in this place, God. I come against every hindering spirit, oh God. I come against every hindering force, oh God, that will come, Lord God, to hinder your word or to hinder your people from hearing the word, oh God. And Lord God, we love you. We appreciate you, oh God. We give you all the glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen, amen, amen. As Pastor Ham has already stated, this is our Heritage Month, and This is Black History Month, and all of y'all are looking so beautiful in your African attire. Amen. Unified. Looking beautiful. The announcement went out a couple weeks ago, you know, that this would be the day that we would all, you know, could come and wear our you know, celebrate our heritage in dress. You know, and so some of you have done that, and that's a good thing, you know, but then some chose not to, and that's a good thing as well, you know. But, you know, the important thing is, with the text, is that, you know, we as people of God, we can dress in uniform, you know, we complied, you know, to what was, you know, we chose to do it. We had a choice to do it or not, but we chose to do it. And it signifies in this place that there are some that's dressed in African attire, some are not, you know. Those that are not are unified with someone else that didn't. Those that did are unified with someone else that did. That's in dress on outer appearance. Now, we'll be cooking with grease if we would unify our hearts together like that and be on one accord when we come in this place. Amen. Amen. I was so blessed in Sunday school this morning because it was all in the message. And Brother Lonnie, that's why I wasn't talking much, because I would have started preaching because it was so much of what, you know, God had been dealing with me with about us, you know, being unified, coming together, you know. And there's always some things that we have to do to come together and to be all that God is calling us to be. All right, so we read the text already. The word is already blessed. If I have to choose a subject, I chose, let's straighten it out. Now, back in the day, I'm a baby boomer. So back in the day, and some of you young ones probably love it too, old school, there was a group called Lattimore. And they came out with the song, Let's Straighten It Out. All right, so I just took a few of the words, and I'm going to read it. And it goes on, when he begins the song, he's not singing, literally, he's talking. And he's saying that everybody got to straighten out something sometimes. It doesn't matter how old you are or how young you are. It doesn't matter if you're married, single, or divorced, or engaged. You have to straighten out something every now and then. And then he says that we don't mean no harm. That sound familiar? I don't mean no harm. You know, he say, that's just how I am. And we just tend to take you for granted, which he's dealing with, I guess, the woman. But I took that part to say that that's an excuse that we always use. Well, I ain't mean no harm. You know, that's just how I am. You know, and we do. We take each other for granted. But that's all I wrote on that. Y'all come back with me now. Y'all come back with me. Yeah. Don't get caught up in Lattimore. If that song ringing in your head right now, say, Lord, in the name of Jesus, let's straighten it out. All right. Yeah. You know, but let's straighten it out. You know, so in the text, it says that in this new life. So when you see the word new life, that means that the old life must be gone, or the old life must be dead. Brother Cash came this morning. Symbolically, he died to his old life, and he was raised up with new life because of what Jesus Christ has already done. Okay, so he died to the old man, and now the new man, you know, is raising up. Now, is everything going to change with I'm using him, is everything going to change with Brother Cash overnight? No. Did anything change with any of us overnight when we accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior and we were baptized? Okay, so we had some stuff going on with us that was ungodly because we were living in sin, you know, and we didn't care. So all of these things that it was naming, like anger, rage, malicious behavior, slander, dirty language, we got to put all them earthly things, they say that's lurking. So when something is lurking, that means it's just laying dormant, waiting on the opportunity to come up out of you, you know. But if we'll be honest with ourselves, most of us, we know the majority of the stuff that we have in us already, you know. And sometimes there are things in us that maybe we don't know, but the majority of it we know, because remember the song said, well, that's just how I am, you know. And when I hear a person say, well, that's just how I am, that means you're telling me I'm not about to change, because that's just how I am, whether it's right or whether it's wrong. That's just the way I am. Nobody's going to change it. I've always been like this. That's it. That settles it, period. You know, but does it make it right? If it's not according to God's will, then you need to strip it off. You need to take it off. You know, and I said it this morning that a lot of times we carrying all of this stuff on the inside of us. We try to pretend like we all right, but we come up in here every Sunday. We hurting, we broken, we confused. We don't know which way is up. We don't know which way is down. I don't know whether to go left. I don't know whether to go right. Can I talk to this one? Can I talk to that one? Are they going to hear me? Are they going to pay attention to me? You know, so we come with all of these things, you know, and then we leave right back out the same way that we came in with all of these questions, with all of these things going on. And when the plea is given, because God be done sent an anointing for whatever issue you're dealing with, and we refuse to get up and come get help. It could possibly be because I want people to think that I have it together. But let me tell you something. This the hospital. This is the hospital. Not a single one from me on down. Everybody that's in here is sick with something spiritually. Nobody in here has it together. And see, when you portray that you have it all together, Brother Lonnie, that's when you become a hypocrite. Because now you pretending to be something that you're not. And I always say, this just Cynthia Tate, you know, I don't mind. I know I'm messed up from the flow up. And I know I can be jacked up. And I don't mind you knowing that, because I'm not gonna stand here and have you thinking or make you think that I got it all together. God called me out with my messed up self to share his word with people that's messed up just like me. So because I'm here, it doesn't mean I'm better than you, that I got it going on more than you. It's just God called me out with my messed up self to minister to other people just like me that's messed up. Now, maybe I've been through some things that he's delivered me out of that maybe I can help you with and share my testimony of what God has done for me and to help bring you out. That's all he called for, and to preach the gospel that he loves you, he died for you, he was buried for you, and he rose just for you. So I said all of that to say that you don't have to be ashamed. I don't know what your issue is, and it's not my business what your issue is, because when you come to the altar and you give your life to God, or you bring whatever issue you have to God, that's between you and God. Because guess what? I can't fix it, but God is the one that can fix it. But you got to realize that when he sends the word for your situation, you got to move. You got to move. You can't worry about who's looking at you, what they gonna say about you, or what they gonna think about you, because I did this last night, or I was this way this morning. It doesn't matter. Right here in the text, it says, it doesn't matter. The only thing that matters is who? Jesus Christ. And he died for you, and he died for me. And so to get this, the first thing that we have to do is we have to recognize our identity in Christ Jesus. When you get saved, I pray there's nobody in here that's not saved. But if you are not saved, my prayer is today that you will be saved in the name of Jesus. But once you are saved, because this is to the brothers and sisters in Christ, this message today. So the first thing we have to do is that we have to recognize our identity with Christ. Everybody want to belong to something. Everybody wants to feel wanted, needed, want to fit in, you know. But as people of God, we're peculiar. You're not going to fit in everywhere. And you can't do everything that you feel like doing. Now, before you got saved, you was footloose, fancy free, because you was doing your thing. And that was cool, because that's what the devil wanted you to do. But now when you gave your life to Christ, then things began to change. Things began to turn around. And for you to come to Christ, it had to be something going on inside of you to let you know that, okay, I need to change something. I need to turn something around in my life. This is not working. It's got to be something better for me. And so you gave your life, you know, to Christ. Now, a lot of times we may come to church on Sundays, and we may be under so much pressure, because I got a bill over here, I got a bill over there, I got the home messed up here, the children going crazy here, the husband going crazy there, the wife going crazy here. You may come in and you under pressure. You know, and you come to the altar because you hear a word, and ooh, that's me right there, that's me right there. And you come out of emotion because you want a quick fix for whatever it is that was going on before you got here. But God doesn't perform magic tricks. He is God. And when you give your life to God and you become a new creature in God, you have new life. Now, as you pray, as you get in his word, as you come to Bible study, as you come to teaching settings, and see, like right now, none of you can just raise your hand and say, oh, Minister Tate, I got a question about that. You can't stop me. But in Bible study, when the man of God or the woman of God is teaching and they say something that I don't understand, that you can raise your hand. And guess what? The word can be broke down. Because coming to church is good. But preaching is to get people saved. Teaching is to show us how to live once we get saved. So maybe that will explain why we live in any kind of way. Why we got all this anger, rage, malicious behavior, slander, dirty language, and lust and shame, all these things going on with us that we don't know up from down, in from out, and all of these things, is because I'm not putting myself in position to be taught how to live. See, it's more to it than being saved. Because you can get saved, but if you don't know how to stay saved, how do I get rid of these things? You're not gonna get it just by coming on Sundays. Point blank. You're not gonna get it by coming on Sunday. That's why you leave out the same way you came in. Because you don't know how to even hold on to the word that you done got for that Sunday. Because before you leave out, if somebody step on your toe, there go the old man coming up. Man, say some choice words. Are you ready to throw down? Or you go home and you go right back to the same thing. Because you got to be taught how to live the word. You know what? The enemy will put you under so much self-condemnation when you're ignorant and don't know. And when I say ignorant, that means you're ignorant to the things of God. I was under self, I could testify to myself that because I used to think that I got saved, gave my life to Christ, now I'm supposed to be perfect and live perfect in this fleshly body. I didn't know. You know why I ain't know? Because I wasn't going to no Bible study. I wasn't getting no teaching. I wasn't in the Word like I was supposed to be. And I just know I gave when I hear the preacher say, you give your life to Christ, you could be saved and you ain't going to hell. But then nobody told me about the rest of it. You know, so I got saved, but then every time I mess up, every time my foot slip, every time I go contrary to what the Word of God says, now there I go, I'm beating myself up. And I'm under self-condemnation, and that is not of God. And that's why teaching is important, because when you get saved, it does not mean that you are perfect. It does not mean that you're not going to mess up. It doesn't mean that you're going to be without faults. It doesn't mean that you're going to be without shortcomings. But see, as you've been renewed in your mind daily, see, it's a process. That's why I just said God don't perform magic tricks. Now, God can do what he want to do, you know, but I just ain't never seen it yet. We all have to go through a process of when we give our life to God, when we give our life to Christ. It's a process. And then the choice becomes how much or how bad do you want God? How higher do you want to go in God? How long do you want to stay in the place that you're in? We just got through singing. He has done great things for me, and he's got more. So if you want the more, it's going to require you to do some more in order to get the more. All right, so we have to recognize our identity with Christ. So we were baptized to the new life. The old man died. And then when we got saved, said a few minutes ago that we all want to belong. So guess what happened? You gain a whole lot, millions, trillions of brothers and sisters in Christ. Not biologically, but everybody that's in here that's saved right now, I guess you are my brother. You are my sister. We don't have the same mama. We don't have the same daddy. But through the blood of Jesus Christ, it connects us. And so what are you connected to? Who are you connected to? If you're connected to Jesus, then none of these things will be evident, or at least they falling off. Or you can say, God is working on me, because I know a time when I would have said this or did that, but I know God is working on me. That's evidence that you're allowing him, you know, to change. So when we gain brothers and sisters through the shed blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, then we become brothers and sisters through God. Now, I have siblings. Now, I was only girl. People say, oh, I know you was spoiled. No, I wasn't. No. I wasn't spoiled because they wouldn't let me play marbles. They wouldn't let me, you know, do. I couldn't go anywhere. Mama was working. Better not leave this house, so I had to be in the yard. They friends came. My friends was walking, so I couldn't go. You know, so I tried to do what they do, so I kicked the marbles and stuff, you know, and we got into it. So, no, I wasn't spoiled, but as siblings, siblings have disagreements. Siblings even fight. You know, but then what? We don't ever stop loving each other. We always, I'm sorry, we apologize. We get in trouble for it. You know, same thing with spiritual brothers and sisters. We're not gonna agree on everything. We have different values. We have different views about things. We have different ideas about things. But because your idea don't line up with the idea that I had, now what I look like to get mad at you and just fall out with you because you had a better idea. Maybe God will use my idea down the road. It may not have been for that time. But see, we don't think like that because of all the stuff that's already in us. Like I said, we come in here, we hurt, we broken, and baby, when it's triggered, oh, she trying to hurt me. She trying to take this from me. Oh, Lord. You know, and it triggers that stuff that's in us, and then we start lashing out at each other. You know, instead of trying to reach an understanding or agreement. So no, we're not gonna always agree. We're not gonna always have the same viewpoint. But it should be nothing that happens in our lives as brothers and sisters in Christ that would disconnect us. See, because the thing about it ain't about me. It ain't just about you. See, it's about Jesus Christ and his kingdom. And so we're supposed to be kingdom builders. And so if we disconnect it, it's going to be a brick missing there. It's going to be a brick missing over here. You know, because we're in the building right now, so Jesus is the foundation. And so if we disconnected from the foundation, we automatically can't be connected to each other. Because you got to first be connected to Jesus Christ. He's the one that holds it all together. But now, if we love each other as we know that Jesus loves us, as Jesus has loved us, when we messed up, when we had a bad idea, when we said the wrong thing, when we did the wrong thing, Jesus didn't stop loving you. So when my brother or when my sister does something to offend us, we disconnect. I ain't got nothing else to say to them. I ain't having nothing else to do with them. And Jesus is not pleased. It makes you feel good because you don't have to deal with the person. You don't have to deal with the person. But if you love God, and God perfects the love, and if you love God, see, Pastor Ham, I use it all the time. We have a pastor that's promoting unity. I know for New Zion, he promotes, ever since he's been pastoring, he promotes unity. And it's like the devil just like, well, I'ma show him that the more he talk about unity, the more I'ma divide. And see, you got to pay attention in the spirit to see what's going on. See, but every devil is a liar because there will be unity in this body for New Zion. Now, I don't know how God gonna do it. I don't know when he gonna do it, what he gonna do, how he gonna do it. But I just know if God give it to the man of God to promote unity, to take this church places, then guess what? He either gonna move you out the way. Because if you hold up God's progress, God gonna move you out the way. And I'm just gonna say, he will move you out the way. Don't think you can't be moved because it ain't about you. I'm grateful that God let me be a part of it. So it ain't about our way. It ain't about how we think it ought to go. It ain't about how we think it ought to be. Because this God's church. And God wants to take his church wherever he wants to take his church. And if you try to hold up progress and don't want to go, then stay behind. Them that want to go, gonna go on with God and Pastor Ham. If you choose to stay mad, if you choose to stay angry, if you choose to stay disconnected, then guess what? God gonna disconnect you. So we have to know and recognize our identity in Christ. The second thing is that we got to resolve to find a solution. So everybody in here know, I said a few minutes ago that we know a lot of stuff, the majority of the stuff that's in us. So now we got to come to a point to resolve, how can I fix this? Because God, I know I'm guilty of this. I'm guilty of that. When you read his word, when you find something that you're guilty, God, what do I need to do? Seek his direction of how to do it. Lord, I need to do this here Show me, God, what I need to do, how I need to do it, and I need you to go before me. See, if you go on your own, you probably gonna mess it up. But when you put God before you, God will go before you and make crooked ways straight. He'll go before you and smooth out things. And he'll prepare hearts and everything when you put God before you. You know, so don't try to do it on your own. We can't do nothing in our own strength, you know, except for with God. You know, so we have to find a solution. We got to make a decision. So we made a decision to disconnect. So why we can't make the decision? To reconnect. Are you waiting on God to do it? Because he said, so put to death the sinful earthly things. He didn't say, I'm going to put to death the sinful earthly things lurking within you. He said, put to death. It's basically like a command. I'm telling you that this is what you need to do. And this is what the word says. So it's something that we always have a part to play, you know, in our salvation. You got to work out your own salvation. With fear, trembling, we got to do those things that we know we need to do during the process. You got to make a decision to love one another just as Christ loves you. And if you think about, just sit there and just think and ask yourself the question, God, what if you didn't love me? You just ask yourself that question. God, what if you didn't love me? So he made a decision to love you. So we have to make a decision to love one another just as Christ loves us with our messed up self, with our jacked up self, with our won't give him praise self, with our unappreciative self, with our taking him for granted self. And he still loves us. Then we have to make a decision to forgive one another. Just as Christ has forgiven you. Ask yourself that same question again. God, what would I be if you hadn't forgiven me for all the things I've done? And this is how you make it personal. See, because we always look at somebody else. But you have to look at God. God, where would I be if you hadn't forgiven me? You know, where would I be if you'd have just thrown me away? You know, but that's what we do to each other. You know, and we have to forgive just as Christ has forgiven. He came and he was here 33 years. He was an example for all of us. So you have to find peace with your brother. You have to find peace with your sister by any means necessary. And when I say by any means necessary, because how important is your brother or sister that you holding a grudge against, or you not forgiving, or you not loving, how important are they to keep you from God? How important are they? So it's like you making them more important than you are Jesus Christ. You know, and then you have to make sure that you belong to God. And there are some that may not believe that they belong to God. And see, that's where the condemnation comes. And see, that's because you got baptized, you were saved, but I'm just still doing stuff I was doing when I got saved, before I got baptized. I'm still doing the same thing. That's because you haven't took a stance or a position to put yourself in the way to be taught. We have to be taught how to live the way God wants us to live. This is why God sent pastors, preachers, apostles, evangelists, all of these to help what? Equip the body of Christ. You know, and all us messed up too. So we ain't perfect. And y'all better get us off that pedestal. Because we ain't perfect. I'm subject to fall before the day over with. And so I'm your sister. So I fall What y'all gonna do? Oh, did you see Minister? And she called herself a minister. That's what we do. Did you see what she did? And she called herself a minister. She can't tell me nothing. Because I'm not a finished product. I'm messed up just like you are. Might not be the same thing I'm messed up with, but we all messed up. So we ain't got nothing to boast about. If you're gonna boast about anything, you better boast about Jesus Christ. Lord Jesus, okay. So, the first thing we have to do is what? You have to recognize your identity. You got to know who you are. You have to know who you are in Christ Jesus. You know, and the only way you can know who you are is you read his word. And his word will tell you who you are in him. Okay, and it tells us how to live, tell us what we should do. Some people think that the Bible is just made up of rules. You can't do this, you can't do that, you can't do this, you can't do that. And the Ten Commandments. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, all thy mind, all thy soul. Love your neighbor as yourself. That's the greatest commandment. Now, if you love your neighbor, who is my neighbor? Everybody. If you love your neighbor, you don't fulfill the rest of them. Because you ain't going to lie on them. You ain't going to cheat on them. You ain't going to slander them. You ain't going to do none of these things. You ain't going to steal from them, none of these things. If you love. That's why it says in the text that the most important garment to put on is love. That's the most important one because that's going to hold everything else together. Because you love your siblings. You love your biological brothers. You love your biological sisters. Are you going to do anything to just deliberately hurt them? And sometimes I wonder if we really connected to God or do we belong to God the way I see some of us acting in the house of God. Now see, the atmosphere just shifted, but it's all right. You can work your witchcraft. You could try to shit my mind. I'm going to say it. Because it's time out for it. If you tuned in to the spirit, do you not feel the urgency? That there's an urgency in the spirit that God wants to do something. And he's waiting on us. And we sitting here bickering over petty stuff that don't mount to a hill of beans. But see, if we have our mind on Christ and on kingdom building, not saying things are going to come, but God give you avenues. God give you ways to deal. There are difficult people. I'm not going to stand here and say that there are not difficult people. There are people that make it hard for you to love them. I'm not going to say that, but you know what? When your mind is set to please God, you will find a way to love that person in spite of. Now, does that mean that I got to be up all around your neck? No, hey, my brother, hey, my sister, how you doing? I love you. God bless you. See, we get the wrong perspective that you just got to be all up on them. No, you don't. But you got to get that other stuff out your heart. See, because we walk up in here on Sundays and we don't even say nothing to nobody. We don't even speak to each other. But we sitting under the same, I got a problem with that. People that sit under the same word that I sit up under, and if I'm striving to try to do and put into practice the word that I hear, and then I see people that sit under the same word that I sit up under, and I be like, what, it make you think that you crazy? And it lets me know that you're doing that because you want to do it. Because I look at myself, and if it ain't hard for me to do, you just don't want to do it. And that's between you and God. The last one is the representation of who God called you to be. Now, once we went through the baptism, we done got saved. We're applying the word. We're coming to Bible study. We're coming to teaching settings. We're trying to live this life for Jesus, for God, that I could be all that he wants me to be. I know I got this stuff going on, so I done recognize that I'm honest with myself. I'm honest with God. It's not going to take anything away from you for being honest. And we try to cover up. We try to cover up stuff. Just be honest. See, y'all think I'm crazy, see, because I tell on myself. I tell on myself, so devil won't tell. So I tell on myself. I'm jacked up. Ain't take nothing from me. I'm jacked up. Sometimes I don't call words right. I tear a word up. It don't take nothing from me. If I'm corrected for saying the wrong word, I don't get mad. So we all have things that we deal with, great or small. What, you know, so we all messed up. So, but we got to recognize the stuff that's in us, then resolve to find a solution. See? I can't speak right, baby. When I say a big word right, baby, I be like shouting hallelujah. Like preservation. I'm like, woo! Girl, did you say that? That's a big word to come out of my mouth. Now, I might not be able to say it again, but I said it that time. Oh, hallelujah. I mean, I tear them up. I tell your name up and everything. I don't be, there we go in the song. I don't mean no harm, and I really don't mean no harm. Then the next thing we have is the representation of who God called us to be. So God called us to be representatives. So when you got saved, you became a representative of Jesus Christ. That means that you no longer really belong to yourself. You no longer represent yourself, who you think you are. That's why you had to find your identity with Christ. Then you have to identify with Christ, because once he saved you, then you are no longer your own. We bought with a price. He redeemed his life and shed his blood for us. So we now belong to him and his body. So this is why our mind should be on kingdom building. You know, so now we went through all of that, and I'm learning now how to get rid of this stuff. I've got me some strength, you know, that when these storms and these waves come and these heartbreaks come and these things that happen, these fiery trials or whatever, when life seems like it's overwhelming. So now, because I've applied myself and put myself in a position to be taught on how to deal with life when these things come through the word of God, I done got me some strength now. And so now I can become a representative. Because sister girl, brother man may come by, may see him in Walmart. They may say, how you doing, sir? Well, I tell you, ma'am, the day just haven't been a good day. Opportunity to represent Jesus Christ. Well, you know what, brother? You know, God is good. You know, I hate that you're going through that, but guess what? God's gonna work it out for you. I've seen him do it. I know what he'll do. Just don't lose hope. Don't lose faith. Y'all think it gotta be something deep. The represent Christ is not deep. It's just sharing the gospel. It's just sharing what he's done for you. So you represent the representation of who he called you to be. Now, who he called you to be, you have to seek him and find out what his calling is, what he's calling you to. So he was on the earth for 33 years. He was a man. So see, this is what I'm saying. He can identify with everything that we go through. You got people with private storms, things you ain't told nobody, stuff you deal with, you ain't said nothing to nobody, but Jesus knows, you know, and you be like, if I just had somebody that I could talk to, you know, Jesus is the one that you could talk to. I think it's Hebrews tells us that we have not a high priest that cannot be in touch, that cannot be touched with our infirmities. So Jesus knows. In the Bible, Jesus was betrayed, Some of you been betrayed. Jesus been hurt. Some of you been hurt. Jesus cried. Some of you cry all night long. He was whipped. He was abused. Some of you been abused physically, sexually, mentally. He knows. He's felt it all. He can. This is why you got to know that you have to identify with Christ and know who you are in him, because everything that you've ever felt or that you even feeling right now, Jesus has already felt it. He already knows how it feels. He knows how it feels to be betrayed. He knows how it feels when people don't care, because I came to my own people to save them. And my own people were the ones that rejected me. Some of us got family members. You ain't even talking because they rejected you. Or either you rejecting them. You got to find a way to reconnect. And when you get in Jesus, and when you love Jesus, and when Jesus becomes your focus, and when Jesus becomes the center, then guess what? He's the one that's going to matter. And you're going to make sure that you do everything, that you line everything up the best you can to comply with the way Jesus would want it, because I want to please Jesus. So if I want to please Jesus, I got to get it right with my brother. If I want to please Jesus, I got to get it right with my sister. If I want to please Jesus, I got to get it right with my family member. I got to get this thing right. It's going to be a drive in you, because you'll have a desire that, Lord, I want to live for you, and I want you to be pleased with me. So, Lord, I want to do everything that I can do. Now, you can't do it all at one time. One thing at a time, but he will help you do it. And the feeling that you have after you do it, oh my God, will make you want to do it some more. Because it's not going to take anything from you. He was insulted. He was offended. We insult people in the house of God. We offend people in the house of God. We cannot live life without being offended. Somebody gonna always say something that may offend you, but I think that it's not so much as what a person says. I just tell you about me. I know who I am. See how y'all looking at me now? Probably saying, I wish she sit down. Wish she shut up. She always, you know, on that. And I don't get offended, because I know who I am. And I know what God called me to do. And so you could turn a deaf ear. It ain't on me. I'm giving what God gave me. See, if we learn, you ain't going to shut up the man or woman of God's mouth. So if you want to do that, why you even come to church? Because if a message is preached that you don't want to hear, I hate I came today. Well, you ain't coming for the word anyway. I could stay right there. So he was betrayed by the very ones he came to die for. You know, but on the cross, Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. You being a child of God, when people do you wrong, vengeance is mine, said the Lord. I will repay. The world will tell you, get them. Girl, I wouldn't take that. You is super stupid for taking that. Couldn't be me. Not me. Ain't she crazy? That's the world's way, because the world's way makes sense. And we did it so long the world's way. Because it's a process now that I have new life. I'm trying to come from the old. I'm trying not to handle things the way I used to handle them, because now I got new life. So it's going to seem strange to me to just let this happen to me and I not do nothing, or you not do nothing, or I not say nothing. I can't do that. That's the process. That's from the old life to the new life. But if you want to remain in the old life, then your coming to church on Sundays is a waste of time. Because that means that your mind is already made up that I'm going to stay the way I am. I don't want to do any better. I don't want to be any better. The Lord knows my heart. Of course he does. He know all our heart. This is why he sent his word, so we could change the stuff that's in our hearts and have a heart like his and have a heart for him. So he was persecuted as a believer. People ain't gonna always have nice things to say about you. People criticize you. People will, they'll be jealous. They'll be envious. They'll say negative things. Don't mean they true. And just make sure you live where it's not true. You know, but you cannot come down from whatever God has called you into the kingdom for because of what people say. You know, that's, you have to know who you are and just stand flat and say, I shall not be moved. Yeah, it's going to hurt. It's probably going to sting. You're going to feel it because you in the flesh. You know, it's not going to sound good. Well, I heard that this one said this and that about you. But then another thing, you can shut that down. Don't tell me. I won't hear it. Your choice. You know, y'all know we like that gossip, though, don't we? But it's time. It's an urgency in the spirit that we must be about our Father's business. So it's time to straighten it out. So let's straighten it out. If we look around, we ain't got time. Time have us. This community has been just bombarded. So don't think that if I could just do it Wednesday, Friday, tomorrow, better do it now. Let's straighten it out. Don't put off for right now, because the next second not promised to any of us. And if you think that you can't fall dead in the church, you got another thing coming. So we don't know the day or the hour, and so we don't need to keep playing with it. Let's straighten it out. Every now and then, things just come up. We just got to straighten it out. If I ain't loving right, God help me straighten it out. If I'm not forgiving, help me, Jesus, to straighten it out. Let's straighten it out. He already knows. You already know. You know. But go to that person, you know, and when you do it, be genuine about it. Now, guess what? If they don't receive it, it's off of you. It's off, and then they'll have to deal with it, you know, and God will deal with them, especially if they belong to him. God will deal with it, you know. So we need to reconnect. It's so much division in the body of Christ all over the world. You know, and it's a trick of the enemy, you know, and he just try to keep us, you know, divided, and we just fall for it because we operating in our flesh more than walking in the spirit. So we walk in our flesh and we can't take nothing. We can't take nobody saying nothing about us. We can't take nobody doing nothing to us or anything. But look what Jesus endured. He went through so much. If you picture in your mind someone that's just beaten beyond recognition, you couldn't even recognize who he was, that they had whipped him, they had beat him, they had did all of these things to him. And when I think about that, Jesus, you went through that for me. See, this word is personal now, because he went through that for me. Surely I could, Lord, do better than what I'm doing. Help me. I don't know what to do. Help me. And God sent his only son to die on the cross. And it stated, Jesus was on the earth 33 years. And in the Gospels, it didn't tell all, but it's enough that he was an example of how we should live, of how we should treat one another, of what he stands for, what he promotes, you know. Because where there's unity, there's strength. You wonder why the enemy can come in and divide and do all these things and cause all this confusion, because we disconnected. Not all of us. Some of us are disconnected, and some of us have chose to be disconnected. But if you but if you choose to be disconnected, there's you and God. But I recommend that we all reconnect to Jesus. And we could be connected to Jesus, but just get a little closer in reconnecting, you know, with Jesus. Because he loves you and he wants the best for you. So let's straighten it out. You got to first straighten it out with Jesus. Go to him in your own private closet, your car, your bathroom, wherever that may be.